take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7. 1 through 7. And then Pastor will be preaching a message. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Taken from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our church and for this opportunity and for the ability to sit under the preaching of your word. Bless our pastor now as he comes and as he brings the word. Father, give us ears to hear, hearts to obey what the man of God would have for us, and we'll be sure to give you the thanks and praise. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. Colossians chapter number 2 this morning. And considering this thought together as we look at God's word, we are so blessed. Amen. Now, our theme for the year is what, church? Our theme for the year, you'll see it up on the banners, is simply what? That he must increase. Let's say it again this morning. Our theme for the year is he must increase. To understand the words of Scripture are very clear that Jesus Christ is enough. That we are complete in him. And so he must increase. He must increase. In the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to a church that is under attack. A church who, similar to us today, are being told that life and its problems are more complicated than just Jesus. And there were many who were working to undermine the faith of this church. And as I look at Colossians chapter 2, I find that Paul is very burdened for this church. Verse number 1, he talks about that. For I would that you knew what great conflict, what great burden I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul was burdened for this church. He was burdened that the church faced a very real danger from those who would seek to spoil and to rob them of their faith and all the blessings that it brings. And so very soon, Paul is going to tell the church, beware, beware, beware. But before he gets to the beware, in verse number 8, he stops and reminds them of all their blessings. We are a blessed people. I just want to let that sit for a minute. We are a blessed people. I'm going to tell you, we face many battles. We do. And we're going to talk about those in the weeks to come. And then we'll probably circle back around and talk some more of them. And some weeks later this summer, we face a lot of battles. Inwardly and outwardly. I'm going to tell you, culture is not the friend of Christ. It was said this week or last week in our own Congress by one of our own congressmen that, quote, the will of God is not the concern of this Congress. We face battles. But sometimes I'm afraid that the battles get all the attention. That the battles get all the press. And we lose sight of the fact that we are a blessed people. And that we as the church of Jesus Christ We as those who've been blood-bought, born again, adopted into the family of God, we who've been indwelled by the Spirit, we who have a home prepared for us in heaven, are more blessed than we realize or utilize in our day-to-day life. And church, we're going to get to the battles. We will. But before we get to the battles, let's stop and spend some time on the blessings. Spend some time recognizing that we indeed are so blessed. Let's look at some of these blessings that Paul delineates out today, shall we, church? Look with me at verse number 2 then. He says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. You know, the first blessing that Paul points out here and begins to develop for the church at Colossae is that we are blessed in our relationships in Christ. We are blessed in our relationships in Christ. He starts out, he talks about his burden, and then his burden is that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together. You know, there's just something blessed about hearts that are knit together. There's something blessed about that. Amen. And the Bible talks about how we as Christians, how we are bound together in Christ, how we are brought together in Christ, and our hearts are knit together, as the Bible reiterates here, knit together. What's those next two words? In love. In love. You know, love is a hallmark of those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Particularly the love that we ought to have for one another. Jesus said in John chapter 13, in verses 34 and 35, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Speaking of our brothers and sisters in Christ. He says that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. He says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." And so the bond we have, our hearts being knit together in love, is a hallmark of the Christian faith. You know, Jesus, the Word of God goes so far as to tell us, you can't really love Jesus if you don't love your brother. Now that seems harsh, doesn't it? But the Word of God is clear. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20, it says this: "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a..." Woo! "For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Our relationships in Christ are a great blessing. You know, sometimes it's hard though, isn't it? Can we be honest this morning? Sometimes it's hard because people around us, it's not us, but sometimes people around us are not always lovable. Am I right? You know, there's the old saying that to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with those we know, well, that's a different story. It's like the pastor who was preaching on Christian unity, and he kept saying, "We need to be one, we need to be one, we need to be one, beloved, we need to be one." And the little 4-year-old just out of the nursery looked up at her mom and said, "I don't want to be one, I want to be five." We have it in our hearts sometimes. But you know what? We understand that, you know, love and all that. But I'm just not sure Jesus knew about brother so-and-so or sister such-and-such when he gave that word. But you know, hey, we are knitted together. We are drawn together. You know what that means? That means taking things that were apart and bringing them closer. You understand this? That we who know the Lord Jesus Christ are being drawn together by what God has done. He has placed us in the family. Amen. And so he's taken people who were far apart and he's drawn them close. You know, we're knitted together. We are drawn together, not just by what God has done, that none of us are who we used to be, but we're drawn together by what God is doing. And what is God doing? He is working to conform each of us into the image of his dear Son. And so we who were far apart, we who come from different backgrounds and different social classes and different ethnicities and speak different languages and we who have different preferences here and there and all over the place are being drawn together because no matter who we used to be, we're all being conformed into the image of Christ. And so we're being knit, drawn together by what God has done. We're not at all who we used to be. What God is doing, conforming us into his image, we're also being drawn together, knit together by what God has said. And that as we look into the Word of God, we are all coming together by God's grace to walk in his way. You see, we're put in his family. You see, we're being conformed into his image. You see, we're being called to walk in his way. And in doing so, we are being knit together in love, knit together in the fullness of understanding that none of us are who we used to be, and none of us are what we used to be, and none of us are what we're going to be by God's grace. And so we're drawn together. Stop and think this morning, the blessing of the relationships we have in Christ, that the bond that we share, the relationship that we share is greater than the ties that bind us anywhere else. What did you think about this? Jesus' own disciples, they were a curious lot. We often talk about the fishermen. We often talk about some of those, but there's a couple that we don't necessarily talk about as often. One of those is Simon the Zealot. This is not Simon Peter. He's referred to as Simon the Canaanite, and a couple of them, he's referred to Simon as Zealot in the Gospel of Luke. We also have Matthew the Publican. Now, let me define a couple of terms for you. A zealot is one who is so given to the cause of, in this case, their religion, Judaism, that they are willing to forcefully overthrow those powers that keep them down. So back in Jesus' day, it was the Roman Empire, and Simon the Zealot was among those who said, "Death to all the Romans! Kill them all." Matthew the Publican, on the other hand, the publican was a tax collector. He was an employee of the Roman Empire. And so you had Simon the Zealot on this side saying, "Death to all the Romans." You had Matthew the Publican on this side saying, "Everyone pay the Romans." Cha-ching, cha-ching. The divide there, I dare say, is even a little bit more than Democrat and Republican. And yet in Jesus Christ, what they were and what they were becoming and the way they were walking changed completely. Because the ties that bind us in the Lord Jesus Christ are greater than the ties that bind us anywhere else. And I'm going to tell you, church, you can't read the New Testament without understanding that the church, that those who God has called out and called together, that those that God has called around us, that the relationships and the unity that we are to have through Christ is always presented in Scripture as a great blessing. It's always presented in Scripture as something that is worth working towards and endeavoring for and fighting for. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." Look what he says in verse number 3. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Church, don't miss the great blessing of the relationships that we have in Christ. I'm going to tell you, if you shut yourself out of the blessings, of the relationships that you can have in Christ, you have shut yourself out from some of the greatest blessings that God intended for you to have on this earth. Don't shut yourself out. I'm going to say, what God has given us, this camaraderie, this being drawn together in love, this being drawn together in devotion, this being drawn together by understanding, being drawn together by what God is doing, being drawn together by where God is leading, this is worth fighting for. This is worth fighting for. This is bigger than a coronavirus thing. This is bigger than a mask thing. This is bigger than the issues in our culture. We got to start here, guys. The relationships we have in Christ, how God has drawn us together because we need community. And God has drawn us together because we complement one another. We need others. You know who gave us the church? God did. That it might be a blessing to us. The writer of Hebrews admonishes us in Hebrews 10. He says, let us consider one another to provoke, to stir one another unto love and to good works. He says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are so blessed. We're so blessed. Because of the relationships that we have in Christ. And church, I implore us to fight for what God has given us. You know, sometimes it feels disjoint because some of us are here and some of us are home and some of us are back there and all our situations are so different in this time. But it is so worth fighting to keep what God has given us. We are so blessed. Blessed in our relationships in Christ. Look with me again at Colossians. Let's get another one. We'll pick back up on verse number 2 and read through verse 4 this time. He says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and to the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So as we consider our blessings this morning, number one, we're blessed in the relationships that we have in Christ. Number two, can I show you what Paul says here? He says that we are blessed in our riches in Christ. We're blessed in our riches in Christ. Now let me start by saying that this is not what is proclaimed by some as the prosperity gospel. This is not saying that in Jesus Christ we'll have all wealth, and in Jesus Christ we'll have all health, and in Jesus Christ we'll have all of these earthly goods. No. What this is teaching us is that we are rich in Christ, in that being in Christ and knowing Christ and walking with Christ and sharing Christ provides a substance to this life that makes life worth living. We are rich in Christ. We are rich in Christ. But you know, the funny thing about riches is that riches are only as profitable as we understand them to be. Let me give you an example. A lady by the name of Ida Wood lived early in the last century. She lived in a hotel in New York. She was a recluse. Everybody considered her to be an eccentric, kind of old recluse, not much to her name. Every week she would send an errand boy twice a week to the market to get the same items. She would always get evaporated milk, crackers, coffee, bacon, eggs. And she would tip the errand boy 10 cents, saying that this was the last money that she had in all the world. And this went on week after week and year after year, her living on this meager sustenance, never letting anybody in, never going out. Yet at the age of 93, when they went to demolish that hotel in the city of New York, and they went in to move Ida out there when she was 93 years old, they found over $750,000 in cash stuffed around her apartment. They found it in hidden pockets in her robes. They found it in books. They found it stacked in Ziploc baggies. Over $750,000. And yet each week she ordered evaporated milk, crackers, coffee, bacon, eggs, and tipped the boy 10 cents, saying it was the last money she had in all the world. You know, church, we are rich in Christ. We are rich in Christ. But so many, like Ida, never recognized the depth of the blessing that they had. We tend to live on the surface and miss so much that is available to us. That's why Paul says in verse number 4, don't be fooled, don't be beguiled, don't be tricked just because they have fancy words that sound really good. We don't have to run around and try to find things here and things there that will make a fulfilling life. We don't have to run and seek what we can get out of money. And we don't have to come and seek what we can get out of pleasure. And we don't have to dabble in this religion and in that religion and in this philosophy. We don't have to try to attain to some sort of position. No, we don't have to run around and wonder and try to gather to ourselves eke out a fulfilling life. Here's one. We don't have to wonder what we're missing out on. We don't have to wonder what we're missing out on. Because the Bible is very clear that in the Lord Jesus Christ, all the treasures, verse number 3, all the riches, verse number 2, of wisdom and knowledge and understanding are ours already in Christ. We are rich in Christ. And yet when we fail to allow God to speak to us in a church service, or we fail to respond to God as He does speak, we fail to study our Bible. In essence, we are failing to explore the fullness of our riches in Christ. I'll tell you, the greatest treasure in all the world, the greatest treasure in all the world, the greatest treasure in all of life is Jesus and all that we are and all that we have in Him. We are so blessed. And I would admonish you, there are some even today who in their heart of hearts, they feel, for lack of a better word, they feel poor. They feel like their life is empty, like they are just struggling. And I tell you, explore the riches. Amen. Dive in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are so blessed. Why? Because we have been granted these beautiful relationships in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so blessed. Why? Because we have been granted abounding riches in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are so blessed. I want you to see this last one Paul gives. Pick up in verse number 5 of Colossians chapter 2. He says, for though I be absent in the spirit, yet I am with you. Absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein, with thanksgiving. We are so blessed. We're blessed because of the relationships we have in Christ. We're blessed because of the riches we have in Christ. Now, hang on. When I give you this third one, you're going to look at me like, huh? But hang on, all right? We're blessed because of the responsibilities we have in Christ. Now, we see that word responsibility, and we immediately ask, how is that a blessing? Because responsibility sounds like work, doesn't it? I don't always want to work. I don't always consider work a blessing. But you know, then I'm often reminded that my kids are most unhappy with no responsibility. I'm bored. If I never hear that again, I'll be a happy man. Here's the thought. You ready? That we are so blessed because I don't just get to be here. I get to make a difference here. I get to make a difference here. You know what we do in Christ? We find our place in Christ. Verse number 4-5, as he talks about our order and our steadfastness, these are terms that have a military ring to it, that we would line up shoulder to shoulder. Again, point number one, with those relationships we have in Christ, and just like the Roman army of old, we would go shoulder to shoulder, and we would have our shields out in front, and we, in our place, make a difference for those around us, make a difference for the glory of God. Because you know what? We're going to get to it. There is a battle to be fought. There is a truth to be sounded. There are souls to be saved. There's the hurting to be helped. There's the bound to be freed. And you and I have the unique distinction of being able to be a difference, being able to make a difference, to get on board and to give ourselves for the kingdom of God. There's a unique blessing found in being able to make a difference with the life that you have. You know, that's why Paul told the church at Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 15, he said that I would very gladly spend and be spent for you. That's why he's reported that Jesus said in Acts 20 and verse number 35 that it's more blessed to give than to receive, because there's just something about having the opportunity to make a difference in this world. Let's make it more specific. Something about having the opportunity to make a difference in a child's life, in a neighbor's life, in a co-worker's life. There's something just blessed about being able to make a difference for Almighty God. I can live for self, and I can get all I can all I keep and bury the can in the backyard for another day. But the fact of the matter is that a life of getting will never bring the blessing that a life of giving does. Amen. Amen. And we find our place in Christ, and we look around and we recognize that I am here for a reason. We find our purpose in Christ. Verse number 6 and 7 admonishes us to walk in the Lord, that we to be rooted in the Lord and to be built up in the Lord, or that we are to abide and abound. That we are to abide in Christ and that we are to abound through Christ. You know, it talks here about being rooted. Being rooted, the imagery of a plant, if you would. It tells me that the hidden life, that which goes on below the surface, that which you can't see of me, and that which I can't see of you, is important. That it determines the height of the life you can see being built up. You know, a couple of verses for us to consider. Jesus said in John 15 in verse number 5, he said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, look what Jesus says, ye can do nothing. We got to be rooted. We've got to be rooted in Christ. But I also find where Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, I'm to abide in Christ, that hidden life being rooted and will allow me to abound in Christ. That as a child of the King, I'm not here to sit and to soak and to sour. I'm here with the glorious opportunity to grow deep into the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow up to bear much fruit, that I get to be a difference, that I get to make a difference. And the reality is, whether you're 5 or whether you're 105, if God has given you breath this morning, God has placed you here to make a difference. And I've never met anyone with a past too bad for God to use them to make a difference today. To make a difference. You are here to make a difference for the glory of God. And just stop and think about that. This life that I live, the toil that I give, the things that I suffer, it's not all in vain. We are so blessed. I tell you, the people of this world can work a lifetime and amass a fortune and build a company, and within a generation or two, it can all be gone. But for we who know the King, for we who serve the King, nothing is wasted. We make a difference that lasts for all eternity. We are so blessed. And the message today is that though the battles we face are great, the blessings that we possess are greater. We are so blessed. And we have too much to lose to just skim over all that God has given us. I'm going to tell you, our burden in Christ doesn't always feel like a blessing. It doesn't. But it is. Because my life matters. Because I am here to make a difference. And nothing is wasted in Christ. You know, the bounty, the riches that I have in Christ don't always feel like a blessing. But that's why Paul says, don't be beguiled. Don't be fooled. Because whatever it is that's caught your imagination, when it's the bubble pops, when the cotton candy disappears, when the high dissipates, you will always find that the substance that makes life worth living, it's found in Jesus Christ. And all we have in Him. I'll tell you this too. The bond that we have in Christ, we don't necessarily always consider that a blessing. But it is. And I'm going to tell you, church, we need to humbly deal with this today. To be able to look out over this congregation. To be able to see those listening by way of radio, Facebook, back in overflow. Those that God has placed in and around our lives. And to be able to look and say, you are God's blessing to me. And this morning, we may need to humbly deal with some things in our hearts. To be able to receive the blessing that God has given us. Look, folks, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I pray that you do, if you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you, the greatest blessing that's ever been offered humanity is forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can come no matter your past, you can come today, and you can repent of your sin, and you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His finished work for you. And the Bible says, be born again. You know, you're here, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've got news for you. Look around. Real quick, look around. I'll let you in on a little secret. We're stuck together for all of eternity. Don't you think it'd be a good thing for us to learn to appreciate the blessing God's given us today? We are so blessed. We are so blessed. We are complete in Him. And this morning, church, I pray that in a little way we'll start to recognize and utilize the blessings God's given us.